Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. What can I get for you?
Yeah, I kind of want to revisit a case we did like a year ago, but I don't know. Things have happened. We need to talk about it.
Pull up to the second window and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. I am John, here with Jamie. First time ever that I can remember, we're going to revisit a case.
Yeah, we often do this on Patreon, where we will go back and give updates to cases, and there have been some good ones. But today we're going to go back to a case that we have covered on Patreon and give an update on the real show. So it's kind of it's backwards for us.
I mean, it's not that we did this on purpose. We really didn't. I just happened to see this case and be intrigued by it. And then Jamie pointed out, oh, we've already covered this case. But if it works out that this is a teaser for Patreon and you've not already joined, for as little as $3 a month, you can go back and listen to all of our bonus episodes and start with this one. So Jamie, February 24th, 1987, that is when 18-year-old Michelle Schofield failed to return home after her shift at a restaurant in Lakeland, Florida, and her husband, Leo, reported her missing. 3 days later, her body was discovered in a canal off Interstate 4 in Polk County. She had been stabbed 26 times, and her car was found abandoned nearby, missing its stereo speakers.
Yeah, it's a wild scene, and there are so many details as to where Leo was when certain things happened, where Michelle was when certain things happened, where Leo's dad was. There are so many details that went into this case. But fast forward just a little bit, 15 months after Michelle's murder, Leo was arrested for homicide of his wife. During his trial in 1989, prosecutors presented 21 character witnesses who testified about Leo's physical abuse of Michelle, including slapping her, pulling her hair. Neighbors could hear them yelling. He was very much painted as a person that could do this, and all of those claims were true. Leo denied the claims of killing her, but he did admit to slapping her on two different occasions. Despite the absence of forensic evidence linking him to the crime scene or the actual murder, it just took the jury 2 hours before they convicted Leo of the first-degree murder of his wife, and he was sentenced to life in prison.
So years into his sentence, this case gained attention due to some discrepancies in the timeline and the fact that there were unidentified fingerprints found in Michelle's car. In 2004, these fingerprints were tested, and they matched to a man named Jeremy Scott. Now, Jeremy was a convicted murderer with a history of violent crimes. In 2017, keep in mind these were discovered and identified in 2004, but in 2017, Scott confessed to Michelle's murder. He provided details that were consistent with the crime scene. However, his confession was rejected by the courts in 2017, and then again in 2019.
Which, in retrospect, just seems, how can you do that if it's consistent and his fingerprints were there? And I don't have a good answer for that. I know people do falsely confess to things. Sometimes people in prison want to take credit for things, or there are different reasons. But with the evidence matching it, I think this is hard to ignore. Leo's new wife, Chrissy, who's a former state probation officer, and his legal team, including the Innocence Project of Florida, worked tirelessly to prove his innocence. Their efforts were really closely followed in a podcast called Bone Valley by Gilbert King. Really great show. Season one is all about Leo's fight for innocence and what really happened to Michelle. I think season two is still in production, and that's more about Jeremy Scott and his confession and his relationship with his son, and is really a wholly different thing, but obviously still wrapped into Jeremy Scott there. But after multiple appeals and more work by the Innocence Project and by the Bone Valley podcast, Leo was granted parole in April of 2024. He was released from the Everglades Correctional Institution on April 30th, 2024, after serving 36 years in prison for a murder he insists he did not commit. He moved into a halfway house in Tampa, started working as a mechanic, and he also started speaking at churches and events. He was a musician, so he traveled around playing music at these events as well, sharing his story, and often advocates for criminal justice reform.
In January of this year, 2025, Leo and his daughter were involved in a serious motorcycle accident. So this was one that led to him having to spend quite a bit of time in recovery. And while he was recovering from this, he received a phone call from Jeremy Scott.
Again, still in prison. Yeah.
He is still in jail, and he is the man who confessed to killing Leo's wife. And this led to a conversation where Leo forgave him for Michelle's murder. Let's just talk about this, man, because this is really what intrigued me. Leo is a man who was in prison for 36 years, almost 40 years, four decades in jail, and very likely for a crime he did not commit. His wife was brutally murdered, stabbed 26 times, and dumped in a canal like a piece of trash. And then, as if that wasn't enough, he then was charged, arrested, and convicted with her murder, which led to him spending the four decades in prison. How much more could Jeremy Scott take away from this guy?
Yeah, he took his wife, and he took the prime of his life that he ended up spending in prison. And I mean, yes, he lost his life while being in prison, and he can never get those years back. But that's also years of being called a murderer and years of everybody thinking you took your wife's life. So there's not a lot worse you can do to a person than what Jeremy Scott had already done to Leo Schofield here.
I mean, honestly, if Jeremy would have killed him too, that would have almost been mercy compared to what he ended up receiving. I mean, he had to live for decades in jail and with his wife's murder. So this is a tragic, tragic thing that happened to Leo and his wife. But, I think it just speaks of grace, and it's a positive thing to talk about that, you know, Leo could have definitely held on to his resentment, held on to his bitterness and anger, but he was able to forgive Jeremy. And I think that is just a thing that we have never really talked about on here. And I don't know, I saw that and I thought it would be awesome to bring this case back and to talk about that a little bit.
We certainly haven't talked about it enough, and I completely agree with you. This is something I think that's hard for a lot of people to understand of why could you forgive somebody for this? And for you and I, it's because we're forgiven for all the bad things we've done. And that's our faith. And not everybody has that. I understand. But still, even with my life the way it is, would I have the strength to give that kind of mercy? I don't know.
Yeah. And I hope I never have to find out. But no one has ever done anything to me remotely close to this. So I think it just speaks to his faith of, I don't think there's any other explanation for being able to forgive someone of such an atrocity. So this was a crazy case, and the case in and of itself was enough for a full episode over on Patreon. But just the life circumstances this guy had after his release, pretty incredible.
Yeah, even the details of the halfway house, how he got in there, things he had to do, again, the entire investigation, how it was handled well, how it wasn't handled well, all covered over on that Patreon episode that we released last summer, and you can still find it over there if you subscribe. But, this update is the motorcycle accident happened, obviously, and that's an update in Leo's life, but the call from Travis Scott and the continued conversations with Travis Scott over on Bone Valley are things that I think everybody who's interested in this case should keep up with.
Yep. So guys, we appreciate you sticking around for this update. And if you enjoyed this one, please don't forget to go check it out on Patreon.
This has been a crime story in 10 minutes or less.
Would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.